This article is entitled No Love, No Obedience. And it's taken from the text of John, the 14th chapter, and verse 24. And there it states, he who doesn't love, he who doesn't love me doesn't keep my word. The words which you hear isn't mine, but the Father who sent me. Of course, those are Jesus Christ's words. And we're going to be talking about no love, no obedience. The question the article asks us, can we obey God if we don't love him? That really is the ultimate question that's found in our Bibles, from the very front of our Bibles to the back. Yes, it really is the most important question we need to ask ourselves. If Adam had loved God more than his wife Eve, he would not have sinned. He would have obeyed God first, because he loved God, his Father, Yahweh, more than all else in his life, including himself and his wife. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me isn't worthy of me. Those are again Christ's words, and he spoke them at Matthew 10 and verse 37. Subsequently, it can be said that lack of love on Adam's part was the first sin. Sin then is missing the mark of our loving God perfectly. But of course, that is not what legalistic teachers of false religion would have us believe. And above all things, be earnest in your love among yourselves, for love covers a multitude of sins. And that is the Apostle Peter's words under Holy Spirit at 1 Peter 4 and verse 8. However, when a legalist looks at God's word, as Satan the devil did, love is the last thing they see or understand. It's all about obedience, and without obedience, first, love does not exist. Love is then put on the end of that list. The emphasis is placed on control through obedience, which they believe with all their hearts prove one loves God. However, as we're told by the Holy Spirit, Paul's words at 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 3, if I dole out all my goods to feed the poor, and if I give my body to be burned, but don't have love, it profits me nothing. For I testify about them that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge, Romans 10 and verse 2. However, God is love, and without loving him, one cannot, no matter how much they tout obedience as God, the King, the Almighty, a person cannot obey him without first loving him. He who doesn't love doesn't know God, for God is love. And that's taken from 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8. The next subheading is entitled Demarcation Between Truth and Falsehood. We have defined for many Christians a very thin line, a blurred line between the first lie and the love of God. That is not often understood by most Christians. The Bible tells us God is love. And if we do not love because God is love, then we don't know God. And in fact, we can be much clearer in that we can't even know God. The Bible does not tell us we earn God's love by obeying Him. As much as we want to believe that, it's really not in our Bibles. At least for those who have been perfected in God's love, it does not exist. We love Him because He first loved us. That's what the scriptures say, 1 John 4 and verse 19. Once we move away from love into any other form or fashion from God, we lose God in our lives. Adam did not at all earn God's love by his obedience. But whoever keeps his word, God's love has most certainly been perfected in him. This is how we know that we are in him, and that would be speaking of Christ Jesus. That's taken from 1 John 2:5. Now, with that thought in mind, the idea of obeying God's word, which comes first, love or obedience, because that is the point of this discussion, Adam was given God's love freely before he ever obeyed God or disobeyed him. Now let's hear that again. Adam was given God's love freely before he ever obeyed God or disobeyed him. He was already given God's perfect love. Christ was created like Adam as a son of God from God's love. He was not created from obedience so that he would obey God. No, God created Christ from his love to love God. Because let's remember, here's the key, God is love. Thus, in perfect love, you will find that message throughout the scriptures. In perfect love, there is no sin. If there is no sin, then neither can there be disobedience. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 16 states, we know we have believed the love which God has for us. God is love. Either he is or he isn't. And he who remains in love remains in God. And God remains in him. Then verse 18 of the same chapter says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has what? It has punishment. That means disobedience. He who fears is not made perfect in love. So obedience can never be had perfectly without first being in God's love. So, when one loves God, and God asks that person to do something, they do it because they love God. If one does not love God, no amount of obedience is going to make one love God, you see, is not a question, as legalists would like us to believe, who have us believe it is the action of love that has no sin in it. Thus, the perfect law of God is love. It is not created for sinners, because sin does not exist in love. And I think I need to clarify that point. It's not as legalists would have us believe, but rather it is our action of love in us, because we love Him, God, that there is no sin in. So 1 John 5 and verse 18 makes it clear. We know that whoever is born of God doesn't sin. If you're born of God, you're born from love of God. So a person doesn't sin. But he who is born of God keeps himself, and the evil one doesn't touch him. God is love. God does not sin. He does not doubt. God does not impute evil by first thinking of us that we will disobey Him. So He makes all these laws so people will obey Him, i.e., as legalists would have you believe, by obeying Him is loving Him. The law is, first of all, as the scriptures make clear, for sinners, for those who do not love God, thus they do not obey God. Obeying out of fear is a clear, an absolute demarcation of light and darkness that we don't love God, nor have we been perfected in God's love. Speaking of the truth of God's love, the Bible tells us, love does not behave in an unseemly manner. Love does not seek its own interest, and love is not quickly provoked, and love does not impute evil. Whoever is born of God doesn't commit sin, because his seed remains in him, and he can't sin, because he who is born of God. So he's born of God by love, and because of that, that person is free of sin. On the other hand, let's speak of what the law is for, at 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9, as knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, which Adam was before he sinned. Once you sin, you're no longer righteous. But for the lawless and the insubordinate, for the ungodly and sinner, for the unholy and the profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for sexual immoral, for homosexuals, for slave traders, for liars, for perjurers, and for any other thing contrary to sound doctrine. Now that's the key. The law was made for unrighteous people, not those that are righteous in God's love. God does not want perfect, obedient children. He does not want everyone to goose-step in perfect harmony. That is what the devil wants, and that is what the devil speaks of and teaches, but not God. God wants mankind restored to perfect love, without fear of judgment, because they love God, and they love God freely as He loves them freely. And because of that, we're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, but as it is written, things which an eye didn't see and an ear didn't hear, which didn't enter into the hearts of man, these God has prepared for those who love Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 13 says, but now faith, hope, and love remains these three, The greatest of these is love. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 14 says, let all that you do be done in love. Galatians 5 and verse 14, the whole law is fulfilled in one word. In this you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blemish before him in love. Ephesians 3 and verse 17 states, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith to the end that you, being rooted and grounded in love. Ephesians 3 and verse 19, and to know God's love which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. In Ephesians 4 and verse 16, there states, from whom all the body, being fitly knitted together, through that which every joint supplies, according to the workings in measure of each individual part, make the body increased, to build up of itself in love. Our next subheading is called Freely in Grace. Freely in grace. But why? Well, simply put, as a sinner, we do not deserve being loved by God as he loved his own son, Jesus Christ, who never sinned and always loved him perfectly back. God is love. And if we don't know love, we don't know God. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 3 and verse 24. He who didn't spare his own son, but delivered him up for us, how would he not also with him freely give us all things? And that's Romans chapter 8, verse 32, if I hadn't mentioned it. God's love and all his creation was given his children from love, not obedience. That is why God loves us before we did good or bad. It is not a matter of obedience. When we love someone, we do things because we love them. And we just can't imagine doing otherwise. Obedience really isn't even given a thought unless you attach fear to it or a lack of love to it. We are not made to do things. We are made to obey. We want to obey because we are filled with love for the other person. So Romans chapter 9 and verse 11, a scripture a lot of Christians have problems with, states this: For being not yet born, neither having done anything good or bad, that the purpose of God according to the election might stand, not of works, but of him who calls. Now that scripture makes perfect sense if we think of God loving Adam before he was created, and that he picks those that he loves before they're created. He first loves them. The next subheading is called the faulty premise of rebuilding love from obedience. We may choose to know that the power of the law of God did not rebuild the love that Adam should have had for his father, Jehovah God. The idea of false religion is to build a kingdom through strict obedience to God's commandments, then hand those belongings over, talents, if you will, to God as God's work on earth. Now that does sound noble, but it really is a trying to perfect the flesh that can't be perfected, as the scriptures teach us. 1 Peter 3:21 makes this absolutely clear. This is a symbol of baptism, which now saves you, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Romans 8 and verse 7 and 8 of the 8th chapter states, because the mind of the flesh is hostile towards God, for it is not subjected to God's law, and neither indeed can it be. Then in verse 8 it says, those who are in the flesh, well, they can't please God. So there is no perfecting of the flesh, at least according to the scriptures. The law perfected nothing. Obviously, if the flesh can't be perfected, and Christ had to kill it in himself, the law perfected nothing when it came to the most important thing of all. If we don't love God, we cannot obey God. No, the law did not perfect love for God. At least a love that is freely given without works of law. The same works of law that boast in proving one had love for God by obedience. No, that type of love missed the mark of perfect love, i.e., perfect faith in God. And what is perfect faith in God? Well, it is love. He who has been made not after the law of fleshly commandments, speaking of Christ, but after the power of an endless life. The power of an endless life that God gave him, God is love. Hebrews 17 and verse 19, for the law made nothing perfect, and a bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God. One could not draw near to God through the law. There was a wall. It alienated people from God, because God is love. He's not law. He's not obedience. God did not rebuild love of God by works of law. He did not keep his law that he gave to Moses lasting forever. What did God do? He abolished his powerful, righteous law that condemned every man, woman, and child of falling short of God's glory. Now, what is God's glory? God's glory is love. That's what man fell short of when Adam sinned. The law could not, through strict obedience, produce love of God that takes sin away from our world. Sin is what Adam did for a lack of love for his father Yahweh. Removing sin does not mean one loves God either. Let's say that again. Removing sin does not mean one loves God either. Love is beyond laws of our flesh. Love's law is the only law that have no rules attached to them. Freedom of the sons of God can't be found in anything less than God's love. Galatians 5:18 says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under law. And in verse 22 it makes it clear, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Not many fruits. What comes from love? Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, self-control. Against love, you might say, there is no law. There is no sin in perfect love. This is why we're told from love that our sinful flesh cannot know God. It is that simple, honestly. If we are into obedience, into making ones obey us, and saying, that is how you prove your love for me, then that love is not given freely. Don't fool yourself. If one demands love, it is not perfect love. Love can only be given freely from a heart of love. Our sinful flesh can never fully understand that type of love. And for that reason, we are told that the flesh profits us nothing, that it cannot know God, and so we have to be taught love from the Holy Spirit. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. Romans 13 and verse 8, God is love. He is not restoring love by obedience. He is making all things new in his son's love. Now that is a vast difference from anything of this world. That is the reason it's called a new heavens and a new earth. He is making all things new in the Son's love. So we can learn love, and if we learn love, we will obey him perfectly because he is love. But according to his promises, we look for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Righteousness is always sinlessness. 2 Peter 3 and verse 13. And we have put on a new man who is being renewed in knowledge after the image of his creator. And an image of God. The God himself that we love is love. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Colossians 3 and chapter 1 and verse 13, who delivered us out of the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Colossians 2 and verse 2, that their hearts may be comforted, they being knitted together in love, the gaining of all riches of the full assurance of understanding, that they may know the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ. Colossians 3 and verse 14 tells us this, above all these things, walk in love, which is a bond of perfection. The next subheading is entitled, Laws Fulfilled. God's love is in Christ Jesus. Christ loved his Father perfectly. Thus, his love fulfilled all the laws over our flesh. Never will mankind evolve into perfect love from corruption of sin in our flesh. God's perfection is in love, in God himself, in Christ who is in God. And if we are in Christ who is in God, then there is no condemnation for those in Christ. None. The love of our Father is not of this world. Thus, no condemnation of any sins for the flesh, which are dead in Christ, has any power in God's love. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, who don't walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. That was added in brackets underneath. Christ is sinless not because of obedience. Christ is sinless because he loved God perfectly. which meant he obeyed God perfectly. God does not create robots. He does not create anything less than love. He creates all his beautiful spirit sons and spirits in the flesh, humans, from love. Love is perfect freedom without judgment. So there can be no fear in perfect love of disobedience. It was only after Adam sinned, did not love God, that he felt fear. There is no fear in love. That's what the Bible tells us at 1 John 14. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has punishment. He who fears is not made perfect in love. All the laws of the flesh causes us fear. Fear of disobedience, which fears are not in God's love. Our being set free in Christ is being set free from all judgment of our flesh that cannot be obedient to God. We're clearly told that throughout the scriptures. Our flesh is dead to God's love. Love has no judgment in it because there is no flesh that is in Christ or God, and we are not in either one of them by our flesh. Can we love God like that? Well, we shouldn't need to ask such a question. Hopefully not. For all sin and all fall short of the glory of God. That's what we're told in Romans 3 in verse 23. But may the God of all grace, and that word is translated in many Bible versions as undeserved kindness, the God of all undeserved kindness, or unmerited love, means you don't have to gain God's love, that is given freely, who called you to his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after you have suffered a little while, perfect, established, strengthens, and settles you. So it should be a given that we cannot be God's love. And that is why the law that was given to Moses, to God's people, had to be fulfilled by God's love for us, by the life of Christ Jesus. Love is a law's fulfillment. Moreover, and please take this statement very seriously, love is a law's fulfillment. God's love has to be revealed to us. God's love has to be revealed to us. We cannot teach someone God's love as much as we would love to. That is why God personally, and here's the serious point, God's love has to be revealed to us. And moreover, in that same statement, God personally teaches us his love by his Spirit, and that would be Holy Spirit. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony, you shall not covet, and whatever other commandments there are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love doesn't harm a neighbor. Love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law. And that is taken from Romans, the 13th chapter, and verses 9 through 10, and you'll find that repeated throughout the scriptures. By this, God's love was revealed in us, that God has sent his one and only Son into the world, that we might live through him. And if we're living through him, we're living in God's love. And that's 1 John 4 and verse 9, 1 John 1 and verse 2. And the life was revealed, and we seen, and testified and declared to you the life, speaking of the apostles, and the eternal life, which was the Father, was also revealed to us. 1 John 2:27. As for you, the anointing which you received from him remains in you, and you need for anyone to teach you, but as his anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is no lie, and even as it is taught you, you remain in him. And there is how we have that personal relationship, because God teaches each one of his children, or he doesn't love them. God is love. He births each one of his children from his love. Just like he talked to Adam, he talks to his children that are anointed. God knows those loving him. Those are the ones he teaches his love to. Furthermore, this is why a lust for a vast knowledge is not proof that we love God. It is in fact converse that we are lacking love of God in us. If we have the gifts of prophecy and know all the mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but I don't have love, I am nothing. You see, putting love at the end of that list of knowledge and prophecy and all the other things that those lacking love first pursue, lacking love for God, should start with love first. And maybe those other things can't come, but first love. First love, which produces obedience, which produces love, prophecy, which produces knowledge, which produces greater faith. But a legalist will get that absolutely backwards every time. The flesh will get that backwards every time. That's the reason one cannot be in their flesh and understand the scriptures. False religion does not love God. False religion is of our flesh, which falls far short of God's love. False religion then legalizes love by works of law. It is in that deception that the whole world has been blinded by Satan from God's love. The scriptures then puts it this way: even if our good news is veiled, it is veiled to those who perish, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers, that the light of the good news of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should not dawn on them. The very love of God, the glory of God, God is love, and Christ is that very image, does not dawn on them. It's veiled because they are deeply rooted in law, trying to perfect that flesh, trying to earn love, as all humans do in their own existence on this earth. Behold how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called God's children. For this cause, the world doesn't know us, because it didn't know him, speaking of Christ. 1 John 3 and verse 1. Galatians 3 and verse 11 states, now that no man is justified by the law before God. That should be evident. For the righteous will live by faith. Faith in the God of love. Galatians 5 and verse 4. You are alienated from Christ, you who desire to be justified by law, by merit, we'll put it that way, by works of law. If you think you can be justified, justifies means God's love justifies you. Love covers a multitude of sins. You have fallen away from grace. That is why when Christ came to earth, he loved his Father perfectly, and his sacrifice of that perfect life was enough to redeem us so that we can have grace. Having abolished the fleshly hostility, which is a law, the commandments contained in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man, of the two, making peace. That was Ephesians 2 and verse 15. And James 4 and verse 11 states this, that law being removed, living in love, that has no condemnation, then this scripture makes perfect sense. Don't speak against one another, brother or brothers. He who speaks against a brother and judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge. Every step recorded in God's Word, the Bible, from the very first cover, from Genesis, all the way through, brings us to one place. The law, the commandments, obedience, the prophets, kings, priests, and whatever else that you'll find in those scriptures, whatever else it says in God's Word to mankind, brings them to one point specific, to Christ Jesus, where God's love is perfected. Once in the last Adam, the Christ, Christ is the last Adam, we are taught the love of God through suffering in our flesh. We are perfected in faith, i.e., that means we are perfected in love, the love Christ had for his Father, and was perfected in his own suffering while here on earth. We're told of this in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7 through 9. In his days of the flesh, having offered up prayer and petition with strong outcries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and having been heard for his godly fear, though he was a son, yet learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Having been made perfect, he became to all of those who obey him the author of eternal salvation. Thus we should not conclude Christ was prone towards disobedience, because he learned obedience. Christ was perfect. He was a sinless Son of God. What he actually did was empty himself, because he loved God, from a very high position, the one next to God from the creation's beginning, into the flesh. Hence, God asked him to do that, and because he loved his Father, he did so out of love, which made him perfectly obedient to God, because he truly had total faith in his Father's love. It was in that fashion, being fashioned as a man, a sinful man, carrying the sicknesses and sins of others, that caused his suffering. Not because of his own disobedience, which was impossible, because he loved his Father perfectly. And in that sense, he became perfected for our weaknesses, overcoming all them, made in the likeness of sin, so that he would become perfect for everything in pertaining to being a high priest over mankind who had fallen into sin and darkness. In all respects, Christ was tested, just like us, on earth, under sin, so he might perfect us in what? Obedience. So he might perfect us in love, so we become perfectly obedient and understanding that in our flesh we have it 180 degrees backwards. The Lord and Savior Jesus Christ says in John 17:23, I in them and you in me, speaking of his Father, that they may be perfected, into one, that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you love me. Grace is the supreme apex of God's love. Undeserved kindness to people who deserve death, who doesn't know him or can't even be obedient to him in sin, is the apex. There is no higher glory than the grace of God. So how is grace? How is learning the depth of God's love perfected? Well, the Apostle Paul gives us a small glimpse of that. At 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9, he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather glory in my weakness than the power of Christ, so that the power of Christ may rest on me. Hebrews 2 and verse 10 says, for it became him for whom all are all things, and through him are all things, and bringing many children to glory, to make the author of our salvation perfect through suffering. Hebrews 9 and verse 9 says, which is a symbol of a present age where gifts and sacrifices are offered that are incapable concerning the conscience of making the worshiper perfect. There's no gift, no work, no sacrifice that's going to make us perfect. But as what we are told, we have to suffer. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom can be no variation or turning of the shadow. James 1 and verse 17 and verse 25 states in the same chapter, but he who looks into the perfect law of freedom and continues, not being a hearer who forgets, but a doer of the work, this man will be blessed in what he does. The perfect law of freedom, which we've discussed, is love. Peering into that and not forgetting, and it's easy to forget when you're in your flesh because it doesn't know that law. Peering into it constantly through Christ's life in us and not forgetting, that is the suffering in that flesh because it can't. And that's what perfects us. In this love has been made perfect among you, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, even so we are in this world. 1 John 4 and verse 17. And verse 18 then summates what we're talking about. There is no fear in love. Lots of fear in our flesh, but there's no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear, casts out the flesh, casts out the judgment of the flesh. Because fear is punishment, and the flesh is under punishment. We judged in the garden, it continues to be judged, because it cannot meet God's glory. It always feels condemned. If we're honest, we love the truth. But love casts out fear, and fear is punishment. He who fears in that flesh has not been made perfect in love. Though we can't make ourselves perfect in the flesh, we have to be made perfect in love. And to be made perfect in love, then there's only one way. And that is having faith in God's love which is given freely before we were ever born or created. So that completes this article. It was written on July 5th of 2018 by Daniel, a slave of Jesus Christ. And you can always go, if you want further articles, to Jehovah's Witnesses Straight Talk at squarespace.com.